Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. And with no long-term contracts required, you can change your setup whenever your business needs change. Protect your business with powerful features designed to keep you in complete control. Get round-the-clock audio-video recording for nonstop protection. Stop scrolling through hours of footage. Find almost any events efficiently with AI search. Keep an eye on up to 4 camera feeds at once across all your locations for total peace of mind. Get trained security professionals to monitor your business around the clock and request emergency when needed. Ring Business is easy to install yourself or let our professional installers do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most, running it. Ring Business, business security that works for you. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring Business page on r.com for more information.
En la obra, el tiempo vale oro. Por eso en Lowe's tenemos ProBlock Quick Dry Primer hecho por Sherwin-Williams. Diseñado para los pros con aplicación uniforme, tiempos de secado rápido y resultados impecables. Disponible en base de aceite o agua. Ordena en línea antes de las 2 p.m. y recibe entrega gratis el mismo día. Lowe's. Nosotros ayudamos. Tú ahorras. Pedidos hechos después de las 2 p.m. se entregan al día siguiente. Válido en códigos postales selectos. Sujeto a disponibilidad de conductores. Aplican más términos.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on X at jwright929 ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio dial 92.9 FM, 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio and you want to keep up with everything that's happening here at the station, you can download the Odyssey app, free to download, free to listen. We're also streaming live on the TuneIn Radio app as well as the iHeartRadio app. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. You can follow him on Twitter on X at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good day, Jeffrey.
Hanging out with us for the top of the show is my favorite basketball coach, your favorite basketball coach. He's the head coach and team director of Team Thad. He's been on the Jason and John show the past hour. He's gracious enough to stay for this opening segment. Coach Hurd, good day.
Man, great day. I'm finally here on hump day. I was just going to say top of the week. I had to catch myself. First day hump day.
It's still, yeah, because we got Sarita on Mondays, and I'm like, it's still kind of like trying to work it all out. We will normally have Jason Munns on Wednesdays, but Jason's on vacation, so we're going to stick with the CA. Jonah Dillon is going to join the program during the next segment. We'll talk Tiger football with him as the Tigers head to Troy for this weekend before hopefully trying to set up a big opportunity against Arkansas next week. We'll get into the list. We'll take a look at what else is happening in the world of sports. We'll tell your story, and then we'll get out of here. But, Coach, since we only got you for this first segment, I wanted to start here with you because I think this is as now you're starting to hear more and more people, like even in particular, you have Nick Saban talking about, hey, the money gap. I mean, honestly, I've been saying this, I feel like, for 2 or 3 years. The money gap between the South and these Big Ten schools, it's huge, and it's a difference. And it's like now that Saban says it, okay, everybody's starting to agree with it. There also seems to be some discrepancy between how much Alabama is spending on the roster, if it is competitive, it's not competitive, because you'll have talent experts that say, listen, their roster may not be the top of the sport, but it shouldn't be getting run off the field like they have in 5 of their last 11 games. But I was kind of thinking about it from this perspective, and I wanted your thoughts. If I'm a guy like Nate Oates, and I have unquestionably done things at Alabama basketball never done before, and I'm consistently, you know, a top 15 program, I've got a Final Four to my name. I mean, honestly, they played UConn more competitively than anybody did in that Final Four. But he's unquestionably done a great job. Would you not be a little worried if you're starting to hear, okay, money's the problem in football, and we just saw congratulations, you just had a player commit to Nate today.
Thanks.
He's been killing it on the recruiting trail. Would you not just start to be a little bit worried, like, are they gonna keep funding me? Are they gonna keep resourcing me? Because I think, like, that is, like, in the end, Alabama, they have embraced basketball, but let's be real, if it was A or B, football or basketball, we know what they're gonna divert their attention to.
No, you're right about that. Alabama's a football school, but you know what's crazy? I don't think Nate Oakes think about that. Like, the way he works in his staff and Preston Murphy and those guys, they go so hard. And I just feel like the SEC, because of NIL era, it's actually a – I know the listeners might think I'm crazy. This is a basketball league. Last year was the best basketball league in the history
of metrics. since we've been charting and being able to identify, like, because you can always say, well, this is the greatest era. But since we've been able to put a number, it is the greatest season we've ever seen a conference have.
Ever. And I don't remember ever. I think if you go by since you have been keeping charts, like you said, Jeffrey, I think easily year by year who will win out the most would have been the ACC. Because I think Duke and North Carolina have just always been the standard. Now, I do think it was certain years that the Big East did get it for this year. It was certain years that the Big 12 did get it with Kansas and some schools. It was some Big 10 had some years when they was adding people constantly. But if you say overall.
Are we still at Michigan State in 2000 or is it 2001? I can't remember. I think it's 2000. I think that's still their last national champion.
Yeah,
in
but
basketball.
They went to Final Fours, right. And that's what you –
But it's like the Big Ten's been very good in basketball, but they've never had the premier program.
Exactly. I think even the Pac-12, UCLA probably ain't won, but I know they went to like three – what was the old coach?
So UCLA went to a Final Four. Mick, remember Mick in the COVID year, Mick went first four, Final Four. Then
– But Mick then went to one. He went to the championship. What was the guy named – back like
before Alford
he went to a couple.
Ben Howland at least went to one. He might have went to two.
Yeah,
I think he went to two because I think they lost in a national title game to Florida and then Memphis absolutely curb stomped them in 08.
Yes. He had some dudes in his era too. He had Westbrook, Love, a lot of those guys. So but besides that, the SEC have had teams like Alabama basketball guys be so excited, like Mo Williams and them, but I'm like Sprewell, I'm like, y'all was okay, but Alabama got...
They went to three straight Final Fours, by the way.
Ben Holland, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I thought it was a crazy era. I don't think they won one, though, did it?
No, they finished runner-up to that Florida team. I think that was the first of Florida's titles.
With Joakim and all.
Right, when they won the back-to-back. I think it's the first one.
I think that's 04-05 or 05-06.
That's 05-06.
Okay.
06-07, they lost in the Final Four, and then the 08 Final Four, they lost to Memphis.
They sure did with the CDR going baseline on Kevin Love. One of my boys right there. So I say all that to say that I just think, me knowing Nate Oakes personally, I just think he just go, man, work his butt off and figure it out later. Like, have you ever been around some
people? Oh, he's an incredibly intense person. I guess, though, the only thing I would ask, because I agree with you right now, what I wonder, though, is, you have some schools that are, in their minds, football schools, and they don't have it right. And typically, when you don't have it right, you just throw money at it. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I wonder, is Todd Golden, like, in the end, like, Florida's probably going to have to pay, they're probably getting rid of Billy Napier. And you know whoever they're going to hire is going to demand some type of high-level NIL commitment if they want to go and get a big name. Now, maybe Florida will decide, hey, we're still Florida, we'll get generic coach and maybe get him cheap, but that's typically not like it. But if you're Golden, are you not looking at these football programs that are struggling and are you worried? Because I agree with you, like, as of right now, they're still spending, but is that the case in 2 years? Or even more so, do we think that the SEC will keep up? Like, if these numbers keep going up and up and up, do we think that they're going to keep spinning at that level in basketball?
You know, that's something, and that's a great question, Jeff. That's something to think about.
I guess let's start with the first question. Do you think these numbers can keep going up? Because I'm kind of buying into the idea that this year was a bubble. But what I would say is, okay, you can tell me it's not going to keep going up and up and up like it has the last 3 years, but it's not going down.
Yeah, I don't think if it keep going up, it's going to be crazy. I don't think nothing can keep going up with the numbers I'm hearing. At some point, it must bust some. But I will say this, too, about basketball, too. Now, I'm not saying Florida players are not getting paid good money, but he went and got a lot of, even his national championship game, he went and got a lot of mid-major guys.
Bruce and he Burke. Got a ton of depth. And got he had depth. A bunch of guys.
So I say that to say, on one end, I would be nervous about my football, but on the other end, Jeffrey, you can look at it like this, too. It don't cost as much to run a team. Because the thing about basketball, you're only one player, one or two players away. Unlike football, you need at least, offense, defense, but you need at least 10 good players or more. Basketball, it can literally change your program if you get one or two studs. Now you got some other guys that's willing to take even a little less money to play with them. You know what I mean?
So no, I mean, like, in the end, I always thought a lot of these, I used to joke. I was like, why did Ole Miss keep trying to compete in football in, like, the 80s and 90s when you were never – if you're Ole Miss, you were never going to max out and match Alabama. You were never going to max out and match Auburn, LSU. All these teams that you're competing in, why would you not pivot to a sport that you can compete in? For instance, why is Kentucky a basketball school? They at least – they had Bear Bryant before Alabama did. And they realized, like, hey, man, this price, too steep for us. Let's get us a basketball team. Now, I understand, hey, it's football, it's a way of life, we want to be competitive. Like, I'm just saying, like, once upon a time. But I do wonder, I just wonder if these schools right now that are having unprecedented success, if it's sustainable. Because, like, I'm not asking them to do what they did this year. I mean, that is, maybe they will. I don't know. Maybe they'll do it for another year. Because I do think where the SEC was also smart, and Slive and Sankey kind of demanded this, like, they got great coaches right now, and that used to not be the case. And so schools are investing in it, but I wonder, like, if the price keeps going up and up and up, are they still going to keep investing at the level to be? Because, I mean, Nate Oates has got everything he needs to win a national championship.
He do. Did you see Missouri just got two top 10 players?
Again, that's another school. Like, I don't even know, like, if you're Drinkwitz, are you looking, like, are we trying to be a basketball school again? Like, because there's always kind of that weird, Missouri? No, I'm with you.
I'm not trying to make any assumptions, like, but do you think, hold on, I have to say this.
This show is based on assumptions.
Yeah, I want to say this carefully, though. Do you think everybody is sticking to the cap that the NCAA has set?
No, absolutely not. Well, okay, you know who I think is? Go show me the losers.
Yeah.
That's who I think sticking to the cap. Like, I think Oklahoma State's probably sticking to whatever cap they got. They might even go, like, below it.
I mean, we do everything the right way here at University of Memphis.
Yeah, sure,
AD,
of course. Yeah.
So I know they're going to stick to it, too.
Well, you could actually talk me into Memphis is because the way that Memphis has gotten the FedEx money, they've gotten it diverted back from where it was going to the collective, they've got it going to the school, and the school's doing rev share. So if you're Memphis, you actually are rooting for all of these rules and laws that are not going to be held up in court. You're rooting for that to get held up because Memphis can compete. Memphis has the, if everybody is truly playing to a fair 20 and a half million rev share cap, Memphis can get close to competing in that by next year. But do I think that every school, like, do I think Oregon's doing it? No. Do I think Ohio State's doing it? Do I think any SEC school's doing it? No. Like, Purdue, maybe.
Well, that could be an example, though. Purdue still, and that's why it's about picking the right people. Purdue have actually been, although they have been getting some high-level guys, Purdue have been getting guys that fit what they do. And although every year we don't look at in basketball, they're not the sexiest. Purdue have been like top five at some point the last 5-6 years.
Well, and on top of that, while maybe they're not the biggest player in the portal, where I do also, like, I'm tipping my cap, they've kept their guys. Remember, Smith was going to go into the portal, and everybody's thinking, all right, well, Purdue can't keep up. And then all of a sudden, he's out of the portal.
So I was talking to – I was at the at University of Houston about a month ago,
yep,
with Kevin Sampson. And he said keeping your players – like Houston and he said Purdue, they had – retaining their players, they was the top two with the highest percentage rate.
And that makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because Kelvin's definitely going to be a guy, like program guy, like wants his type of guys. And I don't know, like I was just thinking about that, where these schools that are experiencing unprecedented success and they're getting support, it's like, would you not at least be looking up over at the football building and being like, can you guys win some more games?
They saying that Vanderbilt staff feel like that since they're never going to be able to compete, they want more money for basketball. And that's what I'm hearing, some things inside of the school, because, like, I guess football is supposed to automatically get 70% in the SEC or whatever, and they, like...
I don't think they've set a set number, but okay, Everybody's been operating 70 to 80% goes to football,
mm-hmm,
10 to 15 to basketball, and then, you know, whatever's left for your Olympic sports.
I wonder why...
A couple of schools are doing baseball as well.
Yeah, I know the ACC don't have the same foot, but I just can't see why they're not doing a little better. Because, like, a school, when you say get old, stay old, Virginia was the king of that. And when I don't know how – I don't want to be ignorant. I don't know how this money worked, but I've been up to the University of Virginia several times for camps. And the way the world talk about Virginia in them areas, like, this is one of the more richer
– oh, it's 100%.
Alumni, educated people. And maybe every college got that. I could be naive.
No, Virginia is exceptional.
Exceptional, right?
Yes.
But then it's like the last coach was like having a problem from, I know he didn't like none of it, Tony Bennett, but it was like, but Virginia really haven't been able to get
so a lot of these. So if you think about it, Brian Kelly has even referenced this, and Dave Aranda said this in his profile to Ross Dellinger at Yahoo. There's a lot of coaches when you could start paying guys, A, they were resistant. And then you got some that, remember, they wanted to do the, well, we've got 15 guys on the team, they're all going to get the same.
Yeah.
Could you imagine LeBron James and Matthew Dellavedova getting the same salary? and to Aranda's credit, he even said on the record, he goes, that was dumb.
He said it.
Yes, and he goes, it's dumb. And he goes, we can't, he's like, there's a reason why we won five games the last 2 years. So
is Chip, now that you brought his name, because I just love sports and I know Jeffrey, you be on it all day. Is Chip Kelly still at Ohio State?
No, he's the Raiders offensive coordinator.
Okay.
So Pete Carroll hired him.
But he won the national championship last year as the offensive coordinator,
yes,
right? Okay.
And so Ohio State promoted Brian Hartline, the old receiver. He's now their offensive coordinator, although there's some speculation Ryan Day might be calling plays again. And then Jim Knowles, who was their defensive coordinator, went to Penn State, and then they hired Matt Patricia as their defensive coordinator.
And Penn State top five, too, now.
Correct.
I thought Ryan Day – so Ryan Day was more of an offensive guy? He was the offensive coordinator? Okay, I don't know why
he was
defense, yeah.
So Ryan is part of that whole New Hampshire – like, he played for Chip Kelly at New Hampshire.
Okay.
And there's like a lot of these guys that kind of come out of this quote-unquote New Hampshire mafia. And they're all like plugged in and hire each other.
Pretty good football man.
Correct. And they're all like, they were one of the first to like do the whole tempo, RPO, all that. But like with Brian Kelly, same thing. Brian got to LSU and he's like, you know, I want to pay people the same. It's like, well, finally he's like, okay, I'm going to have to play ball like the way everybody else is doing. And so what you see is, like with, yeah, Brian Kelly, not Chip Kelly, but it's all, whatever. To your point about the ACC, where the ACC's kind of having some problems are, not everybody's willing to go and tap into their alumni and hit them up and say, pay for the roster. Mm. And so now this becomes an even bigger issue when, okay, my television deal is $35 million a year, versus the SEC and the Big Ten are getting $60 million a year. And that's where these numbers are starting to come in. But to your point about the ACC, I was also thinking about this as I was thinking about Nate Oates. Was the happiest man alive that Monday night when North Carolina debuted and they got their ass kicked. Was low-key the happiest guy on the planet, Hubert? Like, was Hubert, like, low-key just fist pumping underneath? Like, okay, that's more money that doesn't go to Bill.
They say that basketball team get pretty good money, though. They supposed to have I was kind of sad for him. Y'all know this sound weak, but I didn't really want him, like, getting killed by four. Like, the first drive was so promising. And then I think that pick got it, like, right before half or the first, that pick six or something.
There was a pick six, and then –
because it was, like, 17 to 10 for a while, and it was, like, a pick six and something else.
And then the first play of the second half was, like, a 75-yard inside zone for a touchdown.
I remember that.
And then, like, that's like, oh, they quit.
They quit. They stopped tackling. Yeah. You know, Bill Belichick is known for defense, tackling. With. I think they could get good players in North Carolina. I did want him to get a better job. It was somebody else who opened up after his job that was a good school, and he was like, no, nah, mistake. We were speculating about it. It was some job I thought opened up.
Well, like, this is the other thing. Like, to go back to your point about well-funded, and I'm not saying cry poor for North Carolina. I'm not saying that at all. I'm getting vibes of they like to tell you how much money they're spending, but it isn't showing. Because I'm wondering, did they spend all that money on football, or did they spend all that money to get the Belichicks and the Lombardis paid? Because what I saw on the field, that is not a $20 million roster.
They said that's a $20 million roster.
That's what they keep promoting. Now, it is also important to note, they got there late.
They did.
At the end of the portal.
They did.
And so when you start, like, you can spend money late in the portal, and that's not good money. Because usually everybody that people want is accounted for already.
Yeah, the ones that has the best stats. Now, I will say this, too. I'd have been up here several times in Dallas-Fort Worth. Like, and since they finally got in the big conference, like, TCU got money down there, too.
Well,
like,
look at what SMU did.
Yes, like, those two boys, it's like they've been waiting their whole life to be in the same conference as Texas and them, just because they always, like, some of the most prestigious people have graduated from the SMU.
Well, I want to say it was
the Bushes or something from the SMU. Well, they got a library there or something.
So, yeah, his presidential library is there. He lives next to the school, W.
Okay.
But there was a stat that one of my golf buddies told me. He's a big Tiger. I think it's something like, if SMU has a 15-person board, 8 of them are billionaires. That's a different level of money.
For real. Texas for real.
Well, I mean, like, that's kind of the other thing is, like, we've been talking about it. Cody Campbell, the Texas Tech billionaire that's spinning on the roster, well, he's been promoting this, we have to repeal the Sports Broadcasting Act. And it's a very vague message, but he's like, call your congressman, tell him to repeal it. And you're like, okay, what's the end game here? And then you realize what he's actually saying is, I need there to be congressional legislation to stop me from spending all of this money. Like, make it a level playing field. Because that is this other thing. It's like, you hear the sport's broken, or the sports are broken. Well, granted, there are some reasons for it because of how we counted numbers. In the first 2 weeks of college football, ratings have never been higher. I will point out they have calculated ratings a little differently, but clearly it is hitting as a television product. The sport is clearly different, and I'm not sure it's sustainable, but I can't sit there and go, if I have to sit here and go prove to you that this is broken, all you would sit there and go is, let me get this straight. We've got a softball pitcher who is a household name and makes seven figures and stayed in making seven figures. The players have never been compensated more. The television ratings have never been higher. Attention's never been higher. What is broken?
You would have them on that. I think I'm still stuck at George and Jeffrey now that I think about it. Texas might be dominating in this because I know how much they say Texas A&M do.
Well, look at
Texas Tech. You know what Texas do. TCU. If you put them in their own states, they probably would run it if they kept their same budget.
I think they'd like to if they could get the TV.
Oh, SMU.
Yes.
And I might be
missing. Tech has got a billionaire that's literally funding everything.
It sounds like we need to bring back the Southwest Conference. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Don't give them. Don't, like, they would love it.
Hey, whoever. It feel
the
like,
problem who, is that I don't know if that I don't know what their TV deal would be worth.
Whoever, they should have a Texas Final Four or a six, whatever those guys is, and the winner should automatically get a
guys. Don't give
the
them ideas.
Four seed.
Like, this is
a top 4 seed.
You realize this is a state that, like, when a political figure needs to, like, get a cheap pop in the ratings, will just suggest, what if we secede from the rest of America? And that bumps his popularity. Like, this is a group that, it's always the weird thing of, like, is Texas the South? And the question I've always had in response is, well, what's the setting? Am I here in Memphis? Is Texas South? Absolutely not.
No.
Am I in the CAF in Malibu, California, and I need numbers, and I need people that say, y'all, all of a sudden Texas is the South. Like, come on.
So you know what's crazy, and I'm going to call you both off air for this, because we could talk about this subject, because I go to different parts of the world, and come up, what is the South? And this is how I conduct the South, okay? Back before inflation got up, I would tell people the South was pretty cheap outside of Miami. I look at Florida as its own world because
Florida's, George, I'm talking about this because his parents now live there. Florida's 3 states in 1.
It really
so the,
is.
So the panhandle, the
panhandle's
only difference
is the South.
The only difference between the panhandle and Alabama is South Alabama is a imaginary line on a map.
But funny story, what threw me off, I had always went to Orlando and Miami.
Yes.
I found
but
it.
Orlando is also a different place.
As far as from my,
correct.
I took my daughter to Destin a few years ago. When I wake up, and I'm driving and they say, welcome to Florida. I had never been to no part of Florida and have palm trees. This thing still looked country, ugly, looked like Alabama.
Yeah,
so
if you don't get to the beach, like when you're like like 15 miles north of the coast, yeah, no, you're like, this is some backwoods.
This is just South,
like,
Georgia. This is that,
it,
you know.
It threw me off.
No, like you're close to, like, it's like True Detective stuff. Like, you're like, it's flat. like where's this? Where's the Yellow King?
You're in an episode of 60 Minutes.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're.
Let me ask this. How far north? Don't go by to your social study book.
No.
Us three know what we're talking about. How far? Because South Carolina is the South. North Carolina is the South. When I was a kid, I was like, why would it be called north? I think anything on top of Kentucky, like, I'm not.
I don't ever know what to do with Virginia.
That's what I've been saying. I'm not going to say Virginia.
I don't
the
know
South.
What to do with West Virginia because I've been.
West Virginia, not the South, is it?
West Virginia is weird, man.
I think of West Virginia as Appalachia.
100%.
100%. Virginia is the big conversation. I think everything under Virginia, I can say, is the South.
But I don't know what Virginia is. It's so historically, it is the South.
Because of the Beltline or something?
Well, it's because, like when it was like the 13 colonies, it was like that's where we grew all the tobacco and the cotton and everything. So, like, that was the South. But now you go there and it's like the southern part of Virginia. It's
but it's right by D.C., though. The
but that's like the northern part. So that whole part is, I don't even know what to do with it. Mid-Atlantic?
So this is what I learned, too, as we got older. And this is a very good subject, y'all, we on. Do you know, I think the New England area was like one of the first parts of America. That's what they judged everything by. Because if you think about it, why would the Midwest be all the way on the east side of the country?
Well, also, why do we call, like, the Midwest has got more range than any, like, region
yes.
that we have. Like, somehow Pittsburgh is the Midwest, and so is Omaha,
no.
Nebraska.
I never heard of Pittsburgh.
I mean, they call it, like, Appalachia. Okay, let's go a little bit. I'll go a little bit west of you. Columbus, Ohio is
yes.
the Midwest.
Yeah.
Cleveland, Ohio is the Midwest.
Chicago.
And Omaha is the Midwest.
Yeah.
That is a lot of range.
You're right. But if you look
at a lot of area, but not a lot of people.
But look, if you look at the whole map, guys, think about it.
Yeah, but
this.
I don't know if you know this. Cleveland, Ohio looks very different
than Omaha. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I know there's some, this is where some people go, well, that's actually the plains, like whatnot. But it's like, we consider the University of Nebraska Midwest.
No, they do consider.
That's true.
But to me, let's take away everything we have learned in school. And let's say this was our first day on Earth. And they just told us north, east, west.
And we get to decide?
No, if you look at a map, they tell us this is the north, this is the south, this is east, the west. If you look at a map, guys, if somebody said Midwest, you would think it's somewhere going towards the west and mid. These states like Illinois, It's on the it's right on top of us.
So
St. Louis, is, Missouri. It's right.
This is where you get into my boy Napoleon. My boy Napoleon, when he was with the French, and he really liked war a lot, mm-hmm. because like he was kind of good at it. So
kind of
war. Pound for pound, maybe the greatest military mind we've ever seen. But it's very expensive. And when you want to keep waging war and you basically just keep taking over people, you weren't really creating new money. He sold us a thing called the Louisiana Purchase. So this is like 1802. So he gives us basically half of the country from like Louisiana all the way west to like, you know, past Texas. So he sells us that for $15 million. Like in the end, like Hail to the Victors, the Michigan fight song, the champions of the West, Chicago was the West. Because like we didn't have, even though it was on the same continent, our nation, the state, didn't own anything really west of Illinois.
Oh.
So that's where it's not like.
Yeah, you're going, I'm remembering this now.
But yep. It's like now, it's like then we have like westward expansion and totally not like running over some Native American tribes and taking their land and saying, hey, here, you can have casinos. Like, they're fun. No, they're great. You can put golf courses there too. Like, we'll call it a resort. It'll be a good time. So, like, historically, like, we weren't sea to shining sea. It's kind of like the Big Ten. At one point, like, Penn State's not in the Big Ten, and then all of a sudden they have Penn State, and then it's like, well, we got to keep adding TV revenue. Okay, we'll take some Maryland. We'll take a little Rutgers. We'll get the New York TV market. We'll sell it like that. And I don't know. Let's get some LA in there, and westward expansion.
Yeah,
like
a little UW. Yeah, a little Husky action.
Well, they got to come in at a discount.
Of course, they.
We're not paying them full price. Yeah.
We do that a little bit in Memphis too. You'd be like, how long? How is this balling this? Oh, they annexed.
The good doctor was the king of this.
Yeah, they.
The good doctor, when he saw, oh wait, they didn't vote to have their own fire department. Okay, Cordova, come on in. Here we go, boys.
But the true South, I will say this: if somebody never been to the South and they won't, because people who've never been to the South looking at this country, I would say anywhere outside of I would tell them to try anything outside of like. Even though you're going to get a good feel in Dallas, Houston, but don't do Dallas, Houston, Atlanta, and Miami first. Do like Louisiana, Mississippi, Tennessee, Arkansas. If you want to get like that good food, that country and city feel, Mississippi, I would say that's more so South Carolina. I would tell them to.
I almost wonder, are you better off avoiding most major cities? Like, because that's the thing is, like, some of these cities have become such melting pots. Like, Atlanta doesn't feel anything like Savannah.
Oh, no.
Or Augusta.
Oh, no.
But Augusta doesn't feel that different than Columbia, which is in a different state. But, like, Atlanta's, like, a banking town. Charlotte is a banking town. Nashville is, like, a entertainment town.
I feel like Baton Rouge is a big city. And I think New Orleans outside of downtown still feel like.
Yeah, but the problem with Louisiana is, like, it just feels like its own thing. Well, but they also have a little of that Florida thing going. Like,
yep.
North Louisiana and South Louisiana are not the same thing.
You're right.
Not like, the same.
Like North Louisiana might as well be East Texas.
I just found three states that everything is the same, even the big cities. Alabama, Mississippi, and Arkansas. Alabama, Birmingham, but it's still country, though.
But I don't know what to do with Northwest Arkansas.
What you mean, Northwest
like,
Arkansas?
Fayetteville. Fayetteville
is still country, though.
But it's all, like, corporate now with, like, Walmart and all that. You know what I mean? Like, everything's, like, brand new and nobody's from there.
But in 2025, everywhere is going to have a little, like, a little niceness now, though.
I don't have a problem with stuff being nice, but the problem is it's, like, it's all generic because nobody's from there. Like, it has a corporate vibe more than it does. But it's super nice. Like
Mississippi, Alabama.
Yeah, like, let's be real. Like,
you can find
you got to kind of be poor. Like, you know what I mean?
No, it's a lot poor of and culture.
There's a strong relationship between having good culture and being poor.
Yeah.
Like, that's just part of it. Because then everybody else, then it starts getting decent.
Because a lot of this is when stuff starts getting really nicer, what it means is like people that are just coming in with outside money are just spending and trying to invest and recoup their investment. It becomes way more corporate. You lose your soul a little bit. But the bathrooms are nice.
Yeah.
That is a pretty good. I mean, it's.
I've thought a lot about this.
Yeah.
All right, my man. I appreciate you sticking
with
us.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
He, of course, is Coach Hurd. When we come back, let's talk some Tiger football. They got a big one at Troy. Jonah Dillon joins us next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. And with no long-term contracts required, you can change your setup whenever your business needs change. Protect your business with powerful features designed to keep you in complete control. Get round-the-clock audio-video recording for nonstop protection. Stop scrolling through hours of footage. Find almost any events efficiently with AI search. Keep an eye on up to 4 camera feeds at once across all your locations for total peace of mind. Get trained security professionals to monitor your business around the clock and request emergency when needed. Ring Business is easy to install yourself or let our professional installers do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most, running it. Ring Business, business security that works for you. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring Business page on r.com for more information.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Deborah had to have surgery.
I had hip surgery in November of 2024.
Her UnitedHealthcare nurse, Crystal, checked on her.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell that she was struggling.
Deborah needed help.
My infection markers were through the roof.
And Crystal knew what to do.
I called the hospital and said she's coming in.
And got Deborah the help she needed.
Crystal and UnitedHealthcare saved my life.
Hear more stories like Deborah's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
Jonah Dillon is the Commercial Appeals Tiger football beat writer. Also, make sure you're listening to the Commercial Appeals Tiger Athletics podcast. Follow him on X at the Jonah Dillon. Jonah, I guess let's start broad and we'll get into more specifics about the football team. Through 2 weeks, have we learned anything about this team?
I don't know that we've learned a ton. The level of competition has not helped, obviously, and the amount of new players, which means that we're seeing a lot more guys than I think we would have normally expected, certainly than we saw at this point last season. There's some concerns. I think we learned that in last week's game against Georgia State in the first half. And I would say, look, we've learned that it's going to be about running the ball. That would be my number one takeaway, I think, so far.
Yeah, I was with you. And I mean, you obviously were at practice, but it's like, I didn't feel like I had to work that hard to think like, okay, well, you're bringing in Brendan Lewis. I don't want Brendan throwing the ball 40 times a game. I would like to use him as a dynamic runner. I've got good running backs. I think Ryan believes in this offensive line, so it seems to me that that was going to be more of the case. But I suppose more of the questions were on the defensive side of the ball. To your point, we're still seeing a lot of guys rotating in and out. Do you think they're getting more comfortable with what they are defensively?
It feels like it. It feels like they found something in that second half. I know they wanted to. I mean, they've always kind of been pretty good at halftime adjustments. Going back, you know, the past couple seasons, there's been some games where the first half they come out and things just look weird, and then they kind of look like the team that we thought they were after the half. I think defensively, we heard before the season, Jordan Hankins, the defensive coordinator, said that they were going to play, you know, more linebackers than the three that they played last year. We've seen that so far. We've seen more rotation. We've seen guys in the secondary, things like that. It's kind of the same story. We've been talking about this receivers on offense, but on defense, it's kind of the same thing with, you know, you want to say that you have depth, you want to be able to rotate guys. But at a certain point in the season, you also want to be able to say, these are our best guys. We're going to play them the most. And I think that's kind of what's going on now, is evaluating who they have. And then hopefully later in the season, they can kind of, okay, these are the guys we want. Maybe we'll rotate a little bit, but not as much as we are right now.
I think one of the big questions that I have, and I'm curious to know what you think, how many teams on their schedule do you think they can't just line it up and run the football against?
Yeah, certainly South Florida, the defense we've seen that they have. Tulane, I think, has always been strong up front. So those are two. I think Navy, they've got some really talented guys on their defensive line. So I would say those teams. The thing about this running game is it's not, this, you know, yes, they're going to run the ball up, but this isn't, you know, old school Iowa football run up and in the I formation, just pound it up the middle. Like, this is side-to-side movement. It's about dynamic players, even Brendan Lewis at quarterback, you know, running kind of on the outside. So I think they'll do that until they have to stop. What I'm guessing, and even if you hear what the coaches were kind of saying this week, they're expecting at some point this season, teams are going to adjust to what they're doing offensively. So if they keep running the ball and showing their goal is to run the ball, you know, twice as much as they passed, like they did in the last game, teams are just going to come out and defend them differently, and they're going to have to adjust to that adjustment. The question I would have is, if there is a game this year, you know, against the South Florida or someone like that, where they're putting up points really quickly and you end up in a shootout type game, are you able to handle yourself in that kind of an environment? They felt like they were able to, and they were when they had Seth Hennigan, but this is a whole different offense and a different quarterback. And what we've seen from the past game so far, there would be a lot of questions about that.
No, I was going to ask, what do you make of Brennan as a passer? Because his numbers are pretty good, but it feels like it's a lot of safe throws, and it's not asking him to, you know, essentially drop back, read the entire field, you know, post-dig dump, try to find the open spot in the zone. How have you viewed him as a passer so far?
Yeah, and that's the thing with the competition level they've played against. They haven't had to do that kind of downfield passing. And so I'm sure if you ask Brian Sofield, he would say, you know, why would we be throwing bombs down the field if we don't have to? And fair enough, right? I think that's the question I have. I think there's still a lot of questions to be had with this group of receivers. That's probably the biggest question remaining right now with this whole team, because they have not figured out the receiver rotation yet. They're playing eight different guys, and nobody has more than six catches on the year. So I think that's a concern, because, look, you're going to throw the ball down the field, someone's got to catch it. He's made the safe throws. He's shown that he can do the game manager type stuff, which, like you kind of said before, that's going to be enough to win these games. If you can not turn the ball over, run the ball, and convert, you know, third and threes by finding a tight end or somebody soft spot in the zone, that's going to be enough to win a lot of these games. It's just that there are games this season where it feels like that's not going to be enough, and we haven't seen those things that you need to get to that level.
Do we think that's going to be enough this weekend?
It feels like it should. You know, I feel like this, I understand Troy was winning at halftime against Clemson, but then Clemson kind of figured it out. You know, maybe Troy is better. I watched that team play last
weather,
year. When they
weather
were in
was awful in
right,
Clemson.
There was a delay,
yeah.
Right. Yeah. And it's like, I watched that team play last year and they had nothing for Memphis, and specifically their offense had nothing. You know, they had like one good drive. I know their quarterback got injured in that game, but man, the spread 6.5 and then it moved to 4.5. I was surprised. I thought it would move the other way. It felt like Memphis should be favored by more. Now, I understand, you know, Memphis didn't exactly look great in their first half against Georgia State, but this does not feel like Troy. This is not, first of all, this is not John Summerall's Troy. This does not feel like a team that is going to be, you know, competing for the Sun Belt title. And so, man, a line like that, 4.5 points, that definitely gives me some concern. That's the perception. Obviously, it doesn't matter. You got to go out there and play the game. But it feels like a weird spot. It's also, like, you know, clearly a trap game spot, right, for Memphis. I know that they're not going to play into that, but there's a lot of things that are just weird about this game.
No, I'm with you entirely, because, like, on the one hand, it's like, okay, Clemson did not run the ball very well at all against Troy. But I also think that could be a Clemson problem. Like, they're not running the ball really on anyone. And really last year, it's like, unless Phil Maffa was back there, they weren't running the ball. But this was also a team that, like, didn't exactly blow out Nicholls State. And so,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, they end up scoring 28 points in the fourth quarter. They were trailing in the fourth quarter, and they put up 28 points in the fourth quarter to beat Nicholls State 38-20. So it's like, man, I honestly, it was to the point, it's like, is there somebody hurt that I don't know about? Is there like a flu going on? Because like, when you see that drastic of a line drop, because I think what, it was 6 at open, and today I saw some 3.5s. I don't know if there were 3s. And again, I'm not telling everybody there. This is only saying that Troy's going to win the game. It's just, it's a market movement. But I'm very curious to know like why it is dropping so like heavily, because I'm at a loss.
Yeah, I mean, a part of it is perception, right? So, like, people, they probably know that Troy was winning at halftime against Clemson last week because they either saw the score or they saw somebody tweet out the screenshot of the scoreboard or whatever. Yeah. And that makes them think, like, wow, this Troy team is pretty good. And Memphis has not looked great the first 2 weeks. Now, there wasn't a lot that Memphis could do because you're playing against low level competition. And finally, you know, the score against Georgia State, 38-16, that doesn't really tell the story of that game, right? Because Memphis had a lot of issues in the first half. I think people are, oh, you know, they're going on the road, and these are two group of five teams. So the team at home that seems like they're pretty good, and they hung with Clemson. It feels like it's that kind of a thing where it's really about perception. But again, like, I don't know that much about Troy. I am not, like I said, I don't think I'm sold on that team yet. And so that feels like a short line, given the talent that Memphis has. It's just a weird spot. It's a weird game. It's, you know, it's Memphis, obviously a weird schedule. You're playing back-to-back road games against Sun Belt teams. And by the way, this deal with Troy for the
I was going to actually ask you about that. I know you've written about it, but for those that stupidly do not subscribe to the commercial appeal, can you explain why they're playing back-to-back road games against Sun Belt teams?
Yeah, first of all, obviously subscribe to the commercial appeal. Thank you very much for everyone out there who listened, and thanks for the plug. Yeah, so the Georgia State one was weird because it was originally signed in 2014, and that deal was supposed to happen in 2017. They're supposed to play in 2017 and 2018.
What did Mark tweet at you? It was like 3 different athletic directors ago.
Yeah, 3 athletic directors. I don't even know how many SIDs.
Well, we know for sure it also was, let's see, Norvell. I'm sorry, we know it's Justin Norvell. So 3 coaches ago too.
Yeah, so obviously these things are not, whoever made these decisions, they're not making the decisions now for the most part in most of these places. I think Georgia State actually had the same athletic director. He's been there for a long time. But so that game got moved back because there was a game that Memphis was supposed to play UCF, a conference game, and it got canceled because of a hurricane. And Memphis actually flew to the game and then flew right back to Memphis because the game got canceled when they landed there in Orlando.
Yeah.
If you remember that one. And so they had to cancel the Georgia State game. Originally, they were just going to pay him to not play it. Then Tom Bowen, the AD, wanted to play it, so they put it back on the schedule. It got pushed back multiple times. They ended up playing it this year. That one, look, that was a weird situation, and so they're playing the game because, you know, obviously they planned to do that a long time ago. The Troy one is weird. He signed a home-and-home with Troy, and by the way, this is a long time ago when this deal was signed. I believe it was 2016 or 2017, so this is way before John Thurmond. This is, I think it was right when Neil Brown got there, so Troy was coming off of a pretty bad era. They had lost, I think they had 3 losing seasons or something in a row, so it's not like, I know a lot of people saying, oh, well, they signed this deal because they had John Summerall and then John Summerall left. Like, no. This was way before that. And obviously Memphis played against Troy in Memphis last year and kind of blew him out. So this is the return of that one. A lot of weird stuff going on with scheduling right now. Obviously, we know about the Arkansas stuff and the SEC stuff. But yeah, these games, it was definitely a weird one to sign that. And I don't see that really being the kind of games that Memphis is going to schedule in the future. I think if you're doing Sun Belt home and homes, it feels like Arkansas State and Southern Miss would be the only ones that really make sense. They've got both those teams on the schedule in the future. I don't know that we'd see these types of opponents a lot moving forward.
Well, and then on the Arkansas thing, I know some of the fan base at this point is just kind of gun shy and just thinking, okay, that game's never going to get played. Obviously, it's not 2030 yet, and there's a lot of time in between. Did you get the sense that was a delay from Arkansas to, essentially set up a cancellation?
Well, here's the thing. If they wanted to just cancel it, they could have done that now, right? So you have to at least consider that. You also have to consider they're still scheduled to play in 2028 in Arkansas, in Fayetteville. So if Arkansas is not interested in playing Memphis, that would be the game that they would cancel, right? I don't see why they would play them in 2028 and then not play them in 2030 unless something changes after that. So
I'm with you. And also, I know, like, I get it. The SEC schools have more money. And obviously a big part of this is, like, we don't even know who the Arkansas head coach is. It's entirely possible you get in 2030, they've got a new coach and he's like, no, we're not playing Memphis. And then that
Bobby
changes.
Petrino, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, obviously Bobby, when he's coaching, you know, starting in November or maybe mid-October this year, is Bobby's back, baby. But I mean, you don't, like, to me, it's like, I don't think a lot of these schools are eager to just sit there and, all right, here's a $3 million check to not play this game. Now we got to go find somebody else and pay him $2.5 million. And like, I'm not as convinced that this was the, oh, they're never playing him again. The fact that they, I do think a lot of these SEC schools are trying to honor these contracts.
Yeah. Look, like I said, if they wanted out, they could get out of it. The money is interesting because you hear about this with like coach buyouts and stuff, and it's true, but it's also true with this stuff. Now that we're in the revenue sharing era, all this money is useful. And if you're going to use your $3 million on not playing Memphis, then you're, like you said, spend more money on playing somebody else. You've just lost that amount of money that you could have been paying your players or coaches or something like that. And you've got to go find that money somewhere else. So unless you have a donor who's like, yeah, I would love to pay you $3 million to not play Memphis, which just seems like a random, if you're a donor, that seems like a random thing to be interested in spending your money on. It just doesn't really seem like it would be worth it. And so I think that's what it comes down to. And look, we don't know what's going to happen in 2030. James Madison and Liberty, I don't know if you saw it today, signed a deal for a game to be played in 2040. Totally insane.
Oh my God.
I don't know why these games are signed the way they are. Yeah, there's people who are 3 years old right now who are going to be playing in that game, which I just, yeah, like you said, what a sport. So we never know what's going to happen. That's why I can't say one way or the other, yes, they're going to play him in 2030. No, they're not. But I don't think it's a foregone conclusion, like a lot of people have said right after that announcement was made.
Yeah, this is like a topic that I feel like you could do an entire show on entirely. But I guess really kind of the other thing that I was curious about, what's the mood of Ryan like right now? Can you get a read whether or not he really likes the team? Because like, I know he presents himself in press conferences a certain way, but what's kind of your read on what you think he's feeling about this team?
I think it's good for now. I think he seems to be, I mean, everybody seems to be pretty excited about what this thing is. And to be honest, like we always say, the talent level is there. I know people are talking about South Florida and the money and stuff. You know, we'll get to that in October, but for now it's like Memphis is playing these games and the schedule has set up favorably. Like, you're playing an Arkansas team that I don't think a lot of people are super high on in terms of being like this SEC world beater. Like, that's a winnable game. And then all the best teams that you're going to play in the conference are coming to play here. And so you get them at home and all those are winnable games. So like, if you're looking at this schedule, you can win every single game. Obviously, no, I don't think a lot of people are picking them to go 12-0, but it's not like, oh man, you know, if you can get to 7 or 8 wins. Yes, I think that there's an opportunity for this season to become like a transitional year if things start to go bad because of all the new faces and because of obviously what you have at quarterback and AJ Hill, presumably for the future. But for the present, you know, they're dominating these teams. They're expecting to win every week and realistically can expect to go into almost every game this season thinking that they either should win or have a very good chance to win.
No, because like, to your point, I think there's kind of this weird reality in that there was the obvious build to last year. You know, you get Seth, you've got him for 4 years, you've put this team around him, but it's almost like this year's schedule was more set up for them to win big than last year's schedule. And like, I know they get the big Florida State win and all of that, and it was set up, but it was like the fact that your conference schedule was so heavily tilted towards the road, and it's like now this year, if you really look at the schedule, like, it is set up for them, but there's kind of this weird atmosphere of maybe that, like, everyone seemed to maybe emotionally kind of release last year when they didn't do it. It's like, this is as every bit of a good of an opportunity as last year was, in my mind.
Yeah, but I think also this year, last year we're going into the season, and obviously people are talking about it more because it was the first year of the expanded playoff.
Yeah.
But Memphis was getting so much national attention, right? It was Memphis and Boise. These are the playoff teams. You had people on ESPN picking Memphis to go to the playoff, right? And it was because they've got this quarterback who's been there for 4 years and all that stuff and their roster and all these players. You're really not seeing a lot of national attention for Memphis this offseason, right? And the first 2 weeks of the season, all these teams, these group of five teams, you know, when they upset power conference teams, then yep. they get a lot of attention, South Florida being the most. Memphis hasn't gotten any attention because they haven't played anyone. They're going to have their opportunity, obviously, against Arkansas. But I think that it puts you in a situation where the pressure is kind of off, even though, obviously, if they start losing, people, you know, in Memphis will be unhappy and they'll let them know about it. But it feels like the pressure is not as high as it was last year. And that can be a good thing, right? You can just kind of play and be under the radar. You don't need to be the favorite to make the playoff. You just need to be in the mix when it's the end of the season.
Well, and also, like, I don't want this to come across as like anti-Seth, but like I gotta imagine that was a huge part of Seth, you know what I mean? Like that was like his program, like you know what I mean? Like, and that's gotta weigh on his shoulders, whereas this year you get a guy like Brennan Lewis, and I'm not just saying like he's a pure mercenary, but he doesn't have like all of the context and all of the, hey man, I've been with all these guys for 4.5 years, or this has been my team and this is what it's all for. It's like that can be a tremendous amount of pressure, whereas man, you just come in, you're like, hey man, I'm just trying to go out there and make plays. Like, I can see where that works in their favor.
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, last year, the whole season, it felt like an end, right? Like the whole year, it was about this, you know, senior day was a huge deal because they had so many guys, like guys who had been there for 4 years. I don't know that we're ever going to see that again. The amount of guys they had last year, you think about, you know, like Rock Taylor and Greg Rubin, Kobe Drake, all those guys.
Yeah.
Like that was pretty extreme. And so it felt like an end. This year feels like I wouldn't even say a beginning, because, you know, you bring in the quarterback who's in his last year of eligibility, right? So they're going to have a new quarterback next year regardless. But the pressure is off. Now, obviously, if you start losing, then I think the pressure will come on because people still expect this team to win most games. But they're in a good spot right now in terms of perception, where they can kind of just fly under the radar. You don't have to be playing these teams, because, look, you got to win your conference to get that group of five spot in the playoff, right? So it's great if South Florida goes undefeated in a non-conference. If they don't win the American Conference Championship, they can't get that spot. And so if you're Memphis, you're hoping all those teams win, and then you can win that conference championship and get that spot.
I do think it would be hilarious. Imagine, because let's see, Tulane doesn't play USF regular season, right?
Yeah.
All right, let's say Memphis beats USF, loses to Tulane. I'm trying to think if there's a way the American could get two playoff teams in. Like,
USF would have to,
like,
yeah,
let's say USF, like, let's say, what?
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. No long-term contracts required, just security on your terms. Take control of your business security with Ring Business. Get 24/7 audio video recording to capture everything and look for specific moments efficiently with smart AI search. Install it easily yourself or let our pros do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most, running it. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring Business page on r.com for more information.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Deborah had to have surgery.
I had hip surgery in November of 2024.
Her UnitedHealthcare nurse, Crystal, checked on her.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell that she was struggling.
Deborah needed help.
My infection markers were through the roof.
And Crystal knew what to do.
I called the hospital and said she's coming in.
And got Deborah the help she needed.
Crystal and UnitedHealthcare saved my life.
Hear more stories like Deborah's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.